Joining me on the August edition of Our Town, Jennifer Wagner is here today. And Jennifer, it's really interesting. You know, I try to read all the emails and that, and I totally missed the very exciting email from Donna Heinen about you and acceptance of your new position. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, Jennifer's recently been named the COO mm-hmm. of the what is, will become the Whitmore Classical Academy.
Correct.
All right. What's the... What made you decide that you wanted to do this?
Well, I, of course, have always been involved in our schools here in Florence. Also, when we lived in Craig, Alaska, I was really involved. And so I love the kids. I love education. I loved my Siuslaw education. I went K through 12 in the Siuslaw School District and graduated here. And all three of my kids graduated from Siuslaw. So I'm just really passionate about our community and about education. And I'm really excited that Whitmore Classical Academy will be a new option for families in our community starting fall of 2026. And I just think the time is now. They needed somebody to step in a leadership role. They posted the position and I applied. I think I have a good skill set. I have my MBA. I've worked in leadership positions forever. I love to fundraise and I love our community. And I love to surround myself with people in our community that are better than I am at things and build really strong teams. And so I think it's just a really good fit. My kids are both in college. My twins graduated and are in college. So I have time to kind of put my energy into something that is needed. And I think it's a good fit.
I want to take a step back because you mentioned the twins. There's the whole empty nest thing going. Is that a real thing? Was that something that you all of a sudden you find yourself with time and...
Not necessarily. I mean, I stay busy. I've stayed involved. The rhododendron court has become really a big part of my life because, again, I get to work with students and help them to reach their potential. So, but yes, I mean, definitely I'm not running to games every evening for the kids or their different choir concerts and all those kinds of things. So I have a little more flex time. I will put a lot of my other volunteer activities on hold, at least in this initial year in this position, to get our doors open in the fall.
So what's the most exciting part about building something from the ground up?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, we have a really neat team that I get to work with. Our board's exceptional. We've had a really neat group of people involved from the beginning that have, as different needs have come, they've stepped aside and we've brought some other people on board. So just that tremendous amount of resources that we have available to us in the form of people. Also knowing that this is really an opportunity to make a positive impact on our community. I think it's going to empower families. It's going to help our kids. It's going to really help our whole community by having this fresh new bit of energy and excellence being offered here.
Explain to people a little bit about what the classical education model mm-hmm. is.
Sure. So classical education is actually not some newfangled thing. It's actually focusing back on the basics, phonics for reading, real focus and emphasis on math, civics, working on developing students' character, really developing a love for learning, critical thinking, creating a form of independence in our students so that they're able to think on their own two feet and problem solve. And there's a lot to do with this particular model that involves families. It's empowering families. It's involving families. It's being responsive to families' needs and wants for their children. It's also really exciting because it's proven to be successful in raising student success rates. So greater graduation rates, greater success moving on to their next phase in life post being in a classical education school. It's been successful, whether it's in inner cities, rural areas, or wherever. It's something that's fitting for everyone because it's really back to basics, really focusing on excellence. And, you know, we would be the only public charter school that's a classical education model in Oregon. It's happening all over the country. They're just popping up everywhere. But this would be the first one for Oregon. And I think we could really be a beacon for other communities about what can be and what are, you know, some things that could happen to other places.
Now, what are the grade levels that are planned? Is it K through 8?
K through 8 ultimately is our plan. We will open the fall of 2026 with K through 2. So we need to start small to make sure we're doing things right because it's a whole new thing for for everyone, including the students, to be trained in the classical education style of learning, as well as in the curriculum that goes along with that. So our teachers will need to be trained, you know, pretty extensively as well.
And I guess it helps to start them young in that model.
It
because
does.
if they start in a different kind of style of education, it's yes. more difficult to bring them into
yep.
that.
Yep. Idea. So we want to start them from the ground up, and then we'll be adding a grade each year until we get to our eighth grade goal. So we think it's a pretty thoughtful way to go about doing it, and we're excited to. You know, originally we had thought we would open this fall of 2025. In fact, I'm looking at our brochure here and it still says 2025. But, you know, you have to have a building for that to happen. And so we did have to put that on hold. And actually, it's always things like that are always meant to be, because we've even been able to get more prepared for success by putting it off for another year. We just applied for a really awesome federal grant that's specific for public charter schools. We were asked by the Coalition of Community Charter Schools at the state level. They sent it to us and said, we think you're a perfect fit to apply for this. Again, it's a federal grant. And there's just a real focus at the federal level on quality charter schools, public charter schools. So we started to look at the grant, and we met every one of the criteria that they describe kind of in their, it's almost like their invitational priority is what they call it. And charter school obviously is the number one overarching, because that's what it needs to be for an opening of a new quality charter school. They talked about classical education being a model they are particularly in favor of or fond of. Disadvantaged communities, lower socioeconomic communities, rural communities is more for a geographic element there. Military communities, which of course we have our Coast Guard families. So we fit every one of those criteria. We spent about 45 days putting the grant together. It was an amazing process. My family thought I was crazy because I was excited filling out charts and things. But it was just fun to see what can be and what how much work we've done to get ready and how many of the boxes that we checked. And then there were areas as we filled out the grant where we're like, we've kind of talked about this, but let's further develop it. And so we brought teams together to further develop some concepts, or we'd had a basic premise on how we were going to do our lottery and enrollment. And so, but we hadn't developed it quite enough. So we brought some people in to kind of get that more firmed up. We knew we needed to update our website. So we began investigating who does websites? How do you do them for schools? I mean, so just it's been a really, really cool process. And we should be hearing about that grant August, September. And then the money would actually start being released in October.
How much was the grant for?
We applied for about $1.7 million. And we would receive it over
a period
of 5 years. Mm-hmm. And the reporting requirements are crazy. And but we think we've got a really good shot at it.
Now, a lot of times grants have specific instructions on how mm-hmm. the money's used. Mm-hmm. Is this for building? Is this for teachers?
Yeah, this is more for operational. It was very okay. specific what it would allow, and it would not allow capital construction as part of it, which is actually unusual. Most grants, people do prefer to have them for capital construction or very specific things like curriculum or a playground or whatever, mm-hmm. Or even a new build or a build out. And there were some elements that we were able to incorporate in that, but for the most part, it was operational. And what's especially exciting is most grants that you look at, again, or for those other purposes, but also they require at least a year, if not 3 years of financials, which of course we don't have yet because mm-hmm. we're not open. So this was really unique and pretty exciting.
So you've looked at some properties along mm-hmm. the way. I believe you looked at the one on 9th Street as mm-hmm. well. What are some of the positives or disappointments in that process that you've seen because of this?
Yeah, it's been an extensive process, and you know how it is in a small town. You know, everyone says,
there's
"Well,
not
just,
a lot of choice.
There's just not." And yeah. we've said all along, we think we need between 15,000 and 17,000 square feet in order to be able to achieve our enrollment growth plan and our K-8. And when you look at how much square footage you need per classroom and all the things, so that was always a consideration. Also, timing. Can you actually get a school built out or purchased and built out in time for opening? We've also looked at even, do you buy a bare piece of land and put modulars on it? Do we just use a different building, knowing that we would outgrow it and still have to come up with something else? So there was all these different decisions. And ultimately, we do have an offer on the Rite Aid building. Okay. We're under contract. We're doing our due diligence. It's not a done deal. We're working
hard. But it's an excellent choice, I think, because you can build that inside out any way you want.
It's meant to be, we really feel like. It's a little over 17,000 square feet, so it was just right in that realm of size. It's at a traffic light. It's on the side
limited of limited entry and exit.
Yep. So yet a good flow, right. You know, for because you have all the drop offs when you're talking about elementary kids. Mm-hmm. And then it's on the correct side of the highway to be near the other schools. And so that we're kind of part of that flow. So we'll see what happens. But I think it's pretty much out there that that's the building that we're working on. And so it's going to take some fundraising, though, to actually secure it. So if people have been looking to donate to the charter school or it's something they're excited about, the time really is now to help us out financially also.
Was it a pretty big get? I mean, was the money pretty high for that they were asking for?
We think it's
reasonably priced?
Yeah, it's reasonably priced as far as it's what it's worth. I guess that's the way mm-hmm. we'd say in looking at comparables in other communities and what other Rite Aid buildings have sold for. And when you look at price per square foot and things. So we feel like it's an appropriate price. Let's put it that way. We'd love to have a deal, but but you know, people need to they're in a business and in selling buildings. So,
like you said, you've kind of been involved in this. You know, your mom's on the board.
Yep.
You know, and she recused herself, which you know makes sense. I've done that in situations where I couldn't do that. But as the CEO, the process is still ongoing, right, for finding a headmaster?
Mm-hmm.
How's that coming along?
We will start kind of refocusing on that once the summer's over. Summer's not the best time to do it. Plus, we've been so engaged with the grant and the building process. So we have our information on some sites. We will kind of amp it up in September. So
another tough thing is because now you're another year out,
mm-hmm.
How is it going to be to secure teachers mm-hmm. and that and staff and that for that? Because now you're having to like, well, we were going to open, but now we have to wait.
We had not gone too far down that path yet, so it's not like we're going backwards at all. It gives us some more time to firm up, again, all of our packages for teachers. We're getting a deeper understanding of, as we've put together our 5-year budget, what we need to look at realistically for teacher salaries and all those pieces. So the timing's been good. We will hopefully have job descriptions and everything ready to roll by the end of the year and really start posting and pushing. And ideally, the headmaster would be on board or the head of school, we call mm-hmm. our person, to be involved in that, obviously, in that hiring process. So that would be our first probably hire, and then teachers would be soon thereafter. But you can't do anything linearly because everything has to be happening all at once so that you're ready in your timing. So we're continuing to work on that. We have a really great relationship with the Charter School Coalition at the state level, and they have a lot of great suggestions for seeking out teachers. We also have some good relationships with some public charter schools in Oregon, and then in Idaho, in Fruitland, Idaho, there's a classical education school called Treasure Valley that has huge success, and they're a really good example for us to learn from too as far as everything, but specifically about teacher recruitment.
Are you surprised or what's the word I want to use? Are you any more surprised at the amount of time you think this is going to use of yours versus what you might have thought before you accepted it?
No, I mean, I knew what I was getting when I jumped into it, and I always give 110%. So no matter what I jump into, it's all consuming because that's just how I do things. And I am particularly passionate about this and thinking about, you know, grandkids someday and what a wonderful opportunity it would be for my grandkids. But also, I have a lot of families in town of all different walks of life with young children that I would love to be able to provide this opportunity for them. So I'm just really excited about it.
Now, you mentioned fundraising. Mm-hmm. Financial challenges are probably one of the biggest hurdles to have to go. What kind of mm-hmm. things are you preparing to do mm-hmm. to get that fundraising activity going?
That's great. We are I like to step back and just clarify. We do receive 80% per student funding for each student that is in our school. So it's good to just explain that from the outset, right. Which, you know, a lot of people say, well, why wouldn't you just do a private school? Well, first of all, we want our school to be available for every family. And, you know, we've met with homeschool families. We've started meeting with Spanish-speaking families. We intend to sit down and meet with the Coast Guard family. So we just want to make sure everyone knows we're an option. Mm-hmm. A quality option for all families. So
right, and being a charter school, they don't have to pay anything.
They don't.
More.
That was my That's so. Yeah. There's no tuition.
Right.
We do receive the 80% per student funding, which will allow us to have at least a steady, you know, cash flow. It's not going to be enough to totally sustain us, right. Of course, but that really is a big deal. And then just to clarify, also, the school district does keep that other 20% per student. And then the school district also gets to keep all the other pots that come from the federal and state government. So really, when it comes down to it, we probably receive only about 50% per student funding than what the district receives. So just so that's
like
out there.
30% of that is for them to support what you're doing? Is that the idea?
It is. You know, other states, it's a lot higher level that you get per student because really we're educating the student. So the 80% is not really what other states would be giving their charter schools. They'd be giving them closer to 95 or even 100%. So, but it is what it is. It's what happened at the state level. We actually tried to testify on a bill that would allow us to have 95% per student funding, but it died in committee. So anyway, it is what it is. We'll do well with the 80%, and we will also be applying for a lot of grants. We think the time is now, though, for that. It's a really exciting time for charter schools for grants, public and private grants. And then for fundraising, we do plan to have a variety of things. I am working on a wine tour for September. Wine tour fundraiser. We will be doing some kind of an annual big event that hopefully will be a fun, meaningful event for the community, kind of a community-based gala type of an event. We don't want to just do another gala. So we'll come up with something unique and special and meaningful, I hope.
Well, you got a big barn.
We do have a big barn. There have been a few events in that barn. So we'll see what that looks like. And then I do hope that we'll have a lot of community partnerships, you know, people in town that want to make annual pledges or partnerships with local businesses that will help support us in some way that's maybe even beyond dollars. So that'll be kind of exciting. We might look at service groups to perhaps sponsor classrooms for various things. So we'll see. But I love the partnership piece. That's always what I've done is try to build those partnerships. And so I will really work hard on that in this position too.
So you're looking at a year and 2 months from now, or a year and a month from now. Mm-hmm. So what is the 3 month, 6 month, 9 month, 12 month look like? Mm-hmm. Obviously, the head of school is a priority.
Yeah. Building and head of school, big new website is kind of imminent. It'll take quite a process. We'll kind of start that in August. We'll start really a marketing campaign for potential families. We've started some outreach meetings, which I mentioned, and we'll continue to do that with particular groups, but also more public, large, open house type of events where any family can come. We'll be doing, once the building, so that's probably our now until the end of the year. There's a lot of tasks. Finishing up our policies, and then from our policies, writing our handbooks. So some of that detail work. It's intensive. So, I mean, that's a lot. Even firming up things in our policies, like our uniforms, we are going to have uniforms, some of those different things. So then in January really will be the push with, hopefully we'll have our head of school and we'll start the recruitment for teachers. We'll start really firming up our calendar for teacher training, finishing up our curriculum ordering, and then there'll be a lot of work getting the building set up and open. All along the way, we have really a good timeline written out where we interface with the school district, keep reporting to them on like potential enrollment numbers and those kind of things for their planning purposes. Also, we also will have insurance to work on, reporting. There's a synergy program we need to get trained on how to report all the student records. And, you know, there's just all the things. So that will be January through March. March will be our lottery. We'll know a real clear picture then of our student enrollment. You know, if we reach our capacity, we have a goal per classroom of how many students, then there will be a public lottery process. And we'll hopefully make it kind of a fun event where the community can watch and see if their names are chosen in our lottery. And so that will be in March. And then we kind of start the next phase, which is March through July. Again, we still don't have state funding at that point because we don't start receiving any state funding till July. So that will be then working with families, getting them ready for the actual, because we'll know who the families are, having our teachers on board, beginning their process of training, you know, continuing on. Then summer will be probably a lot about the building, getting classrooms set up, because it'll take a while to get that built out, open houses and all the things in August, and then school in September.
Wow.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
And then it's really exciting, though, to be working with a group of people that are so excited and committed. It's an all-volunteer board, but they're a very, I mean, they have to be a hands-on group. So
this is a question probably that I would ask that maybe nobody else would ask, because I, in my early childhood, had to wear uniforms. Mm. I remember my sister wearing uniforms.
I knew you'd ask me this question.
They can be kind of, you know, it can be kind of funky. Have you have any plans for making it like, you know, like really cool?
Really cool. I don't know about that. We have talked about it being pretty simple. Yeah. We don't want to have it be a financial burden. Right. And obviously we will have funds available for families that can't afford a uniform.
Like collared shirt.
We're kind
for the
of
boys,
thinking maybe polo shirts.
Polo shirts.
And that, don't quote
as
me on that, but
consistent.
Here you are. Here
right.
I am on air.
Yeah, you're quoted.
I'm
on
air. But we're thinking simple, you know, just something so it is simple for families where it's not cumbersome or uncomfortable,
right.
But yet creates just a, so it's a non-issue
right.
as far as clothing goes and the competition that comes with that and all the things. So.
And one thing that people don't always understand is that it's also about being able to recognize who's on campus.
Yep.
You know, and why they're there.
It is.
You know, it's a safety issue, as a
yes.
matter of fact.
Yeah.
Know?
And just enforcing self-respect, being tidy, being clean, not being crazy and having
right.
over-the-top expectations. But, you know, all those things are important tools for life success. So.
Well, and another thing that I remember about that is that, you know, you couldn't tell if, you know, John – his family made $300 a month
yep.
or $3,000
yep.
a month. So there was not that,
agreed.
You know, you didn't get the bullying aspect mm-hmm. from those who may not have the same amount of financial opportunity.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's a good.
Yeah. Again, it's an education that's a quality education option available to everyone. And we just will really work hard to make sure people understand that. We just would love to have all walks of life and all backgrounds and everyone that's just committed to this great classical education.
And you're excited.
Oh, I am.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about it. I think it's I'm excited for the process because I think it's really fits my skill set. It fits my network that I have or the ability to build new networks. You know, I love to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I love to connect people and resources. One of the things that I've mentioned actually in my quote in the press release is I think there's such a potential to build a neat relationship with our retirement community. I think there are so many interesting backgrounds that we have in our retirees. I mean, I bet we have an astronaut here. And if you're an astronaut and you're listening to this, you can call me because I think, you know, people that worked for Google or people that were artists and had their art in, you know, the Smithsonian or whatever. I just think, I know we've got that here. We know we have Brian Sandahl that worked at Disney for 26 right. years. And I would love.
You have a Google person that just recently came here.
Okay.
Too. Yeah.
Yep. So one of my goals will be to network with our senior citizen retirement community. It doesn't have to be retirement, but I think right. that's a logical place to go. And let them know we value them in our community. Bring them into the classroom somehow. Let the kids be exposed to different options for careers. I think kids don't know what they don't know.
Right.
And it's really our job just to expose them to all that's out there. And then I think they will, I hope they feel valued coming in, but I also think the kids could really glean a lot from it.
Yeah.
So, and in some cases with the enrichment opportunities like that, or we even talked about bringing people in from out of the area once a quarter and having community enrichment opportunities where kids from all the schools could come and learn about some things. Maybe we do something civic related one month. Maybe another month we do something, or quarter. Maybe another quarter we do art, or another quarter we do science, something amazing with science, or something multimedia. Or we don't exactly know what that'll look like, but just really having open minds to exposing our kids to all those things, but also the kids throughout the community.
Sounds like an exciting venture.
It is.
And looking forward to it all coming together.
Yes.
You know, we've all been watching it from the outside.
I know.
And everything you guys have been working on the inside. And recently, obviously, you were added to the mix there, too. Were you active in your family's business prior to this?
I have been throughout the years. Different times.
More so on sometimes.
Yeah, more so at sometimes than others. There was a period of time when I was sort of the main person in the office and got really, this is actually where it translates well to this position, but worked a lot with the HR related elements or accounts payable or worked on our insurance or workers' comp or things like that.
Well-rounded.
Yeah, I've done. Yes. So I have done that. We have a really great office staff in place now, so I haven't been doing as much. They're excellent. So again, it's a good time to step back from that also. So
congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Jennifer Wagner is the new COO of Siuslaw Valley Charter School, soon to be Whitmore Classical Academy. Thank you so much.
Thanks, George.